What's happening, Rock family? Good to see everyone. I want to say hello to all of our campuses joining us. If you didn't know it, we are one church across many locations. And so shout out to all of our campuses and Oahu. Isn't it good to have a church in Hawaii? Come on, man. And sometimes we got to go visit and check up. So I'm just to be there soon. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors that serves on our leadership team. I help oversee our locations and get to support our pastor in preaching and teaching. And I'm so glad to be here with all of you. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on. Summer at Rock Church. Summer in San Diego. Wonderful. She's real excited right here. Man. Amen. We're going to continue in our series entitled We Need to Talk, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but do want to say happy 4th of July weekend. Y'all enjoy some fireworks? Any fireworks people? Some, yeah. And then remember 2012, I think maybe Ty talked about that, the big boom. Oh my goodness. Go YouTube it. Our pastor is going to be back with us next week. Can we just thank the Lord for our senior pastor coming back next week? He's been getting some rest, study time. He's got a quick message for us. Take a look at the screen.
How you doing, Rock family? Pastor Miles here. I'm excited to say I'm going to be back next Sunday. I know I've been gone for a while, but God has been doing an amazing things over these last couple months and downloading some powerful insights, revelations for you. I'm going to be starting sharing that next week. And so I hope to see you there. And also, if you go to our Give page, we have some real cool information for you about how your giving has been making an impact in the kingdom of God here in San Diego and beyond. So God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday, and I'm praying for you.
Amen. Be excited to have our pastor back as he's been studying and preparing. And we're continuing in our series, We Need to Talk. And when he comes back, we'll do some sort of a mini series within this series. And how we got here is at Easter, we surveyed, over the last 3 years we've done this actually, we survey our church and we ask you, what are some of the felt needs that you're dealing with that you'd love to hear us preach through? And so you gave us anxiety and depression and marriage and dating. And how do you find the one? And that means you just got to be the one to find the one, really. How do I deal with my purpose and direction in life? What am I called to? We wrestled through identity and different topics of calling, purpose, all of those issues. Today, I want to talk to you about finding community. Everybody say community. Community. It's the one thing that we all need, but a lot of us don't always love it. We know we need it, but we struggle to get there, and so I'm going to unpack that with you. But as we do, and I'm going to pray for our time today, there's a hurting community in Kerr County, Texas, and maybe you've been following along with the news and you've seen that there was a horrible flood that hit Texas, a small area there, and there was a youth camp, around 700 people, students and counselors and parents and an RV, people camping nearby. And I heard one report say that the flood that happened so quickly, it went from 12 inches of rain to over two stories in about 45 minutes. And while they couldn't prepare for that, right now they're doing search and rescue, and it's devastating what's happened, and many people have lost their lives. They're still looking for children. They're still looking for families. They're still looking for counselors. And while it's been devastating, there's also some heroic stories of one teenage counselor taking a rock and breaking open the window and taking the little girls out and getting them to higher ground. And so we just want to believe by faith that God will help the people there. In fact, we have a team that's there through the Rock Church that we partner with. And so we're praying with them. We're proud to be a part of the efforts on the ground there. And my wife, Vanessa, texted me this morning and said that the governor of Texas just made a proclamation that today, July 6th, is official National Day of Prayer for the flood victims. And so we're going to be a community that prays together as we're talking about community. Let's not just talk about it. Let's be about it. And let's be a community of faith that prays and believes that God is helping them. God is sending supernatural help to find these kids and these parents who are still lost. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that over 4th of July weekend, many people have celebrated, many family have come together, had enjoyed food and fellowship, but also we are thinking about our extended neighbors in Kerr County, Texas, and there are many families who, in a time that would you'd think be celebratory, are hurting and in pain, and they're mourning loss, and they're searching for loved ones. And so we pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would supernaturally help find people in a way that only you can do it. And as they walk by places they overlooked, would they see something they haven't seen before? And where kids thought that they couldn't make it, Lord, give them the courage to keep believing and breathing and pushing and reaching and yelling for help. And so God, send your warring angels right now. Go before them as we lift them up and believe you by faith to do a miracle. Only what you can do. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen and amen. As we switch into the message this week, I was thinking a lot about this topic, community. And I got a real good taste of it because I was with my wife and my daughter, my son, family. We went to Vegas for 6 days of Little Girls Dance Nationals. And I feel like that everybody should do that at least once in their life, go to 120-degree weather and dance for 7 days straight. And that's what I navigated, and it was a great experience. Definitely not a vacation. How many know there's vacations and then family trips? Come on. It was a family trip. Okay, no one's vacationing on this one. Too hot. And so we're going in and out, and my daughter's been dancing for a while, and her friends, they just love it, and they did so well. We're so proud of them, and they made it all the way towards the end, and a few of them got to the grand finale showcase, and some of them took top five in the country, and there's a team from Australia that kind of won a lot. It was awesome, but really, I got a sense of community because we had matching outfits, and the dads wore black and pink, and we're there repping, and then, you know, we're getting tired because it's 6 days in a row. And so then you kind of just, we're watching each other's kids now. And my son's with me while his sister's dancing. And my son's just like dragging, you know, day five. Just barely hanging on, needs oxygen. His dad is so hot. It's so hot, Dad. It's so hot. He's dying. And so this guy's watching my son. And then the community just kind of felt like a family because now I'm disciplining other people's kids. And, you know, it's like, go ahead, bro. Do what you got to do. Like, we're in it together today. And the girls came together, and when one would dance, they'd rush to the front, and they'd scream and shout, and the louder they yelled, the better she danced and performed. They would cheer together. They laughed together. They helped, you know, dress each other, get their hair done and their outfits, but they'd also comfort one another because not everybody did great, and some would slip and miss, and some would cry and comfort. And I thought, man, I got a real sense of we're in this together. It was community. Ever been a part of something where you just felt we're in this together? I mean, we're on mission together. We're a real community. I love this quote from Pastor Rick Warren. He's the founding pastor of Saddleback Church up here in Southern California. And he says this, "We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and formed for a family. And none of us, not any one of us, can fulfill God's purpose by ourselves." Can I get a good amen if you believe that to be true? Amen. I entitled this message, "Created for Community," because I know that that's the truth. And I almost called it Community Changed My Life because that's part of my story. And you'll hear a little bit about that. And maybe that's your story. Man, this church, your small group, your marriage group, it changed your life. We were created for it. God created a world, this world, to be lived and experienced together in relationship with one another and with him. That was his plan. By the way, if you didn't know, God's plan all along was to form a family. That's why our mission is know God, grow in community, become a family together. That was his plan A all along, was form a family, and he called it the church. You know it as the bride of Christ. It's the body and fellowship of believers. It's God's community. That's God's plan, but just like God has a plan, how many know Satan has a plan? The devil's always got a plan. He's always scheming, and his plan is to take you and I out of God's plan. That very strategically, very carefully take you out of God's purpose. Very carefully take you out of God's plan. Very carefully whisper lies into your mind and ear and confuse your identity and confuse who God's called you to be. That's his plan. And the scriptures tell us in John 10:10 that Satan, the enemy, comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that he steals, and one of the ways that he kills, and one of the ways that he destroys very carefully is by establishing the culture that we're living in today. That's a culture about secrecy and a culture about shame. I can't let them know how I failed. I can't tell anybody why I'm messing up. He loves the culture of pride and ego that says, I don't need anybody. I'll do it on my own. I'm better alone. I'm self-made. There's no such thing as self-made. Whatever you think you've done, you're standing on the shoulders of the person that went before you. There's no such thing as I'm a self-made. No, no, no. Everything comes from God. Everything is from him. But the devil loves to take us out of God's community and family by establishing the shame culture and the secrecy culture. I'm going to suffer in silence, or the isolation culture. I struggle with people. I'm just going to go and I don't want to bother them. Here's what I know. There was a study done. One of our pastors was telling me this morning. He said there was a meta study, which is basically a study of all the studies. So you know it's good. It was a meta study. And they found out that people that are drawn to isolation, they just tend to live that way, are at a 33% higher risk of early mortality. So if you tend to just isolate, can I just warn you, out of love and care as one of your pastors, that you there's a risk on your life. Because when you're alone and you're isolating, your thoughts go dark. When you're alone and isolating, you tend to watch things that aren't good for you. You tend to believe the lies and believe the chatter in your mind, and you can't get it out. We need each other. We need community. We need the body of believers to lift us up and point us towards Jesus. How many remember Blockbuster Video? Come on, make it a Blockbuster night. Anybody? Okay. My people. Used to go to this place called Blockbuster. I don't think any of them exist anymore. There may be one, but I think they're all gone. This is the place that you physically went to rent a VHS. And you put it in the VCR. And you go to Blockbuster to smell like popcorn and just, a little funky too. Mostly good. Right? A little funky. Depends on who was at your Blockbuster Video. But I would go to Blockbuster Video, and you couldn't just get any video. It wasn't on demand all the time, every time. It was like when the new release came out for Jurassic Park, I remember it was like 1997. The new release came out. All the young people, 1997? This dude's really old. I didn't know he was that old. I thought he was younger than that. Like 13, 1997. You'd only get like three new releases. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Right here? Okay, you remember that? You had to get in line, right? It was like, okay, new release, my mom, lick it, this is mine, mine. This is mine, don't take it. There's only so many new releases. And then in the back of the tape, what did it say? Be kind, rewind. Young people have no idea. You have no idea. Rewind. I'm going to rewind. Next chapter. Start over. Be kind, rewind. But they started getting people because we'd all show up and nobody rewinds. I didn't rewind. We drop it in the box. But I would tell the guy, like, hey, bro, because you become a regular. Anybody, you got your Blockbuster Video, you got your guy and your girl, and you kind of, is he there? Okay, Sam's there. Drop it off. Hey, man, listen, I didn't rewind it. And he's telling, I got you. My brother. We don't, because I had a relationship. That's not how we do it now. Now we just kick it on the couch and Hulu stream it by myself, just me and me, you know what I mean? I don't need nobody. But here's what I know, the best things in life we do together. The very best things that we accomplish in life, the very best thing, the greatest thing, the most incredible thing that God wants to do in and through you will be done together with people. Tell your neighbor, we're better together. We're better together. We're better together. And I love the dance community. I love the dance community. I love the gym community. I love your running club. I love all the activity. I love the knitting group. I love the baking ladies. I love all the groups. But there's only one community where the answer to every solution and every problem and every situation I have is the name of Jesus Christ. There's only one community that's the answer, and it's God's family. It's God's house. It's not go to the club and shake it. No. Go and praise it. That's what I'm saying. Get Jesus on your mouth. Get Jesus lifted high. It's Jesus. It happens in God's house. It's this place. We need community. We're created for it. It was a great story in Mark chapter 2. If you got your Bibles with you, go to Mark chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, it's the second book in the New Testament. Second book in the New Testament. I love that I see Bibles around the room today. If you don't got a Bible, go online, grab yourself a Bible. A lot of people ask, what Bible should I get? Just get them all. NIV, NLT, The Message, Passion, ESV, NASB, King James, a New King James. Just get them all and just study them all. This is the NIV. I read a lot out of the NLT, but this story takes place in Mark chapter 2, and I want to read verses 1 through 12. It's a familiar story, one of my favorite stories. And just before this story, there's a man who was a leper that Jesus heals. And a leper had boils campuses, and they would break out. And the lepers were ostracized. They were on the no-no list. They were on the reject list. Well, also on that list were paralytics. Because in the scriptures, and not that this is from God, but just historically, we know that people used to associate pain and illness with sin. So if you got something wrong with you physically, it must be because your parents sinned. It must be because you're messing around. We know that's not true. But they would treat them that way as second-hand citizens. And so in this story, there's a paralytic, but this paralytic is different because he has a community. And his friends, they help him, and his friends bless him, and they bring him to Jesus. Here's the story in Mark 2, verse 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. How many friends?
Four
of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. I want you to pause there, and here's the question I want to ask you today. Who do you have in your life that's carrying your mat? Or do you have anybody that when you go through hard times, you can run to and say, hey, would you carry me spiritually? Would you help me in this situation? Who do you have? Is there anybody in your life, Chula Vista or online or Oahu, do you have somebody like this guy has somebody? In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law, those are Pharisees, by the way, religious people, some teachers of the law, were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view. He said, you see these new legs? Ha, ha, ha. Look at this. Bow, 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 bow. I'm moonwalking myself out of here. I've never done it before. About to moonwalk and glide out. I got legs in front of everybody. You see this? In full view of all of them, this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. I feel like we just thank God and give him praise, because he's a healer. He's a healer. What a story. What a miracle. What an awesome community. I want to pull out a few things from this story I think are compelling reasons why we need the community that God created us for. Here's the first point. If you take notes, write this down. Number one, community brings me closer to Jesus. It's just obvious. And maybe it's not obvious, but I hope it is, that community brings me closer to Jesus. In verse 3, it says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. My son recently started golfing, praise God, because I've been waiting for the day. I've been waiting. We've been through a lot of sports that we don't like. We've been through soccer shots, and we've been through T-ball, and we've been through swim class, and we've done the drawing, and we did BMX, and we're kind of still there, but he found golf, and I just, praise God, praise God. And so I took him to the driving range, and I got Levi all set up, and I got his feet right, and I got him aligned with the target, and I got his hands, and got the club, and the grip, and we started showing him how to do it, and got him kind of dialed in a few times, said, okay, Levi, you're here. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to hit a few golf balls myself. Okay, you got it? I got it. Okay. And about 10 golf balls in, I look back, and he's all, like, just laid out. Just one hand in it, looking at stuff and snacks and picking his teeth. I'm like, bro, it's been like 3.5 seconds. I had to come back, and I had to put him back in his feet, and I get him in his grip, because then his hand was like this, like he's playing hockey, and he's like, Happy Gilmore, and then the whole thing, and I got him set. I had to realign him, because he was drifting. How many know spiritually we tend to drift? How many would admit that sometimes, even though I love God and I came to church today, that sometimes we drift? And I get off course, and even though I want God because of life and circumstances and marriage and work and finances and kids and dance nationals and whatever you're going through, you fill in the blank, I'm starting to drift. Here's what the scriptures tell us in Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Somebody's here today because there's someone in your life that said, we're going to church today. You've been drifting, but spiritually, I'm going to pick you up and carry you. I'm taking you to the house of God. And you almost didn't make it. You almost didn't make it. You almost slept in. Crusties. You almost sat. Watch this. You almost sat paralyzed in the shame of I drank too much on 4th of July. Uh-oh. Welcome to church. Glad you made it. But I'm so grateful for the people who we have in our lives that said, no, I am picking you up off your mat. And I know you feel broken in shame. And I know you feel like you're paralyzed in the situation of the house and the finances. I know you feel like you're stuck and you want to isolate, but spiritually, I am bringing you to the house of the Lord. I am bringing you to the place where Jesus lives. I am bringing you to the feet of the Most High God, where healing takes place when you bow down at Jesus and you bring all your mess. I'm spiritually carrying you and picking you up. I need community. I don't know about you. That's what community does. It brings us to Jesus. Here's the second thing community does. Community helps build my faith. Community helps build my faith. Now, how many know, even though if you love God with all your heart, it's hard sometimes. It's hard to always stay encouraged. It's hard to always be faithful, especially if you're alone. It's hard to follow God by yourself. My prayer is me and God. Well, you and God is great, but you and God can get snatched. I'm just telling you the truth. God designed us for this. God designed us for the gathering, for relationship. Out here interpreting scripture all wacky and weird, you need people to help you take you through the word and take you through. We need people. I love verse 4. It says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Now, this is just my opinion, but I don't think that was the paralyzed guy's idea. I mean, he was just sitting there going, all right, here's the plan. I want you to find a blanket, okay? And I'm sure the blankets 2,000 years ago were super durable. Get the rope and lower me down. No, I think his friends talked him into it. In fact, I think this man has been paralyzed his whole life and has had opportunities to be ministered to be prayed for, to believe for hope. But for whatever reason, this is the day that his friends said, I know, look, we came this far. You actually drove to the parking lot. You actually made it to Rock Church San Marcos. The least we can do is go talk to somebody. The least we can do is believe God for more. I'm about to peel the roof off. I had this crazy idea one time, a couple months ago, 6 months ago. My brother-in-law, him and his wife, they moved into a new condo, second story, okay? And they said, hey, can you help us? We got a couch. It's the world's biggest couch Jerome's has ever made. And we need help getting up the stairs. I said, we're going to have to pray about that. I don't know. What time are you doing that at? I may be at church. I don't know if I can make it. Just doing the Lord's work. You know what I mean? But I'll pray for you. I showed up. I showed the picture of us. This is the world's, look at this couch. 27, 29 feet long. You know what I'm talking about. That's ridiculous. Talking about second story. So we're here. It's my brother-in-law on the far right, Lorenzo, and then my wife's cousin, and it was his couch he donated. And so he could have told us it was that big, but we get there. We're walking up the stairs. We don't find out it doesn't fit through the door until we get to the top of the stairs. No one thought to measure it. No one wanted to measure the couch. Amateur hour. Man, so here we carry it back down the stairs, and my brother-in-law goes, "Hey, man." Maybe we just give it away or it doesn't fit. And I had a crazy idea. I said, put the picture back up. I said, what if we put a strap around it and we climb on top of the neighbor's balcony and then we pull it up. And I said, Zoe, I'll be up top pulling. You're on the bottom pushing. Because you're bigger. He played football. He's like, all right. So Zoe's in the bottom. Lorenzo, we call him Zoe. Zoe's pushing. I'm over here pulling. We have those photos because my sister-in-law was like, I'm filming this. I'm getting all this. This is ridiculous. We got it through. Here's the next picture. Here's the next one. We got it through. Look at that thing. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we did it. Praise God. Praise God. We got it through the door. Amen. Saved a couch. Saved a couch. There's a point to that story. I know there is. Saved a couch. Here we go. Hebrews 10. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now. Like sometimes you got to motivate, like, hey, I know it seems impossible. I know you seem discouraged, but especially now it says, and I know you haven't been meeting together, but we got to encourage you. We can do it. Look, I have enough faith for you. And how many know sometimes you got to borrow the faith of the person next to you? Because in a church this size, we got a room full of people, and half the people walked in limping, emotionally, spiritually, physically. You walked in hurting today. And so when it came time to worship, you barely stood up. When it comes time to praise, you don't have a praise in your mouth. But the scriptures tell us in Hebrews, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let's not neglect meeting together, as some of you do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. In Mark 2, someone in that group, one of the friends, had big enough faith for the whole group. And I wonder if we got 10 people on each campus that have enough faith for the whole room. And I wonder if we can get 10, 15, 20 people that can begin to clap your hands and praise God and maybe stand to your feet and lift up the faith in the room, because there's other people that don't believe. There's other people that don't have faith. There's somebody that needs to borrow your faith. They don't believe, but you believe that God can do what you can't do, what no man or woman can do by the power of the Holy Spirit. God can do it today. God can do it. God can do it. They don't got faith, but you got faith. Sometimes I got to borrow the faith of the person next to me. I don't got to praise, but you got to praise. When I'm on my own, though, I don't got to praise. There's no other praise. I don't got faith. I can't borrow any faith. But when I'm in community, the community helps build my faith. And the people that stood up and the people that praised, the people that got loud at the campuses, those are the people that I want in my life. The people that pray when I can't, I want them. The person that praises God in the midst of the hardship on my behalf, I want that woman in my life. The person that when I have no hope fuels me with the hope of Christ, I want that man in my life. I need community. You need community. Pastors need other pastors. Moms need other moms. Men of God need other men of God. Young people need other young people to build and lift them up. We need each other. We are better together. Someone shout amen. 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 Here's number three. Community creates new friendships. So community brings me to Jesus. Community builds my faith. And number three, community creates new friendships. In the story, I think this is interesting. If the four friends are on the roof lowering the paralytic, had you ever given any thought to who caught the man on the way down? I mean, I read the Bible and I start thinking of these things like, wait a minute. They just said, he's going down. He was like, there had to be somebody that wasn't a friend that automatically became one of the homies. Like, bro, thank you for catching me. They weren't thinking through the plan. They just went for it. Thank you. Saved my life. Saved my life. When I was 22 years old, I started attending this church in 2005. And a couple years in, I started attending our young adult community. And couple weeks in a row, I sat down at one of the tables, and there was a guy there named Gabe, and Gabe introduced himself to me, and we began becoming friends. And then as the weeks went on, Gabe said, hey, I want to invite you into my small group. And I met Danny, and Danny introduced me to James, and then James introduced me to Chris. His name is Chris Christologo. We called him Chris. And so I met Gabe, and Gabe introduced me to Danny, and Danny to James, and James to Chris. And by the way, all those guys were lifelong friends and were in my wedding. In fact, Danny, who's a pastor here in San Diego, he texted me the other day. He said, "Hey, man, when are you preaching? I'm coming to watch you. My family and I, we're off. We're going to come watch you preach." Danny was the very first person to tell me, "Travis, I think you're called to be a pastor." This church, that community changed my life. Literally, literally changed my life forever. Here's what the scriptures tell us in Proverbs 18:24. "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." All those guys are my brothers. All of them. And you got to be careful who you're around, because what you're around gets on you. And what's on you gets in you, and what's in you goes through you. And so what's coming out of your life? If it's mess and pain and toil, you may need a new circle of friends. You may need a new community of people, because you've been around them, and then around them it's getting on you, and now their stuff's in you, and what's in you is coming out of you. Proverbs 13:20, "Walk with the wise, become wise, but associate with fools and get in trouble." You don't like the trouble you're in? You've been hanging with fools. I can't say it any differently. Walk with wise, you get wise. Hang with fools, you're a fool. You need a new circle, you need a new group, you need a new community. Listen, if the only person you share your life with is the lady that does your nails, you need a new group. Okay, seriously. Out here booking appointments just to tell your stuff out, you know? It's crazy, but that's true. Barbershop, just let me tell you about my stuff. But get a new group. That's why we're always so, hey, text Next Steps campuses to 52525. Join a group. Go to community nights on Tuesday or Wednesday. Go to men's and women's. Go to married people. Go to marriage getaway. Tomorrow night is my group. And no, you can't join my group. I have a group. I like my group. Get your own group. But I got a group, and we're hanging out tomorrow. And we're going to ask about our lives and encourage and challenge each other. And I met some of the best people in my life that I didn't know anything about the moment I said yes to community. That's what community does. It creates brand new friendships. Here's the last point, and then we're going to do something different. Number four, community helps heal me. I love that point. Community helps me heal. And so community brings me to Jesus. Community builds my faith. Community creates new friends. And number four, community helps me heal. In verse 5 in our story, when Jesus saw their faith. Whose faith did he see? Their faith. He didn't see his faith. I mean, he saw his faith, but he didn't. The scriptures make a point. When Jesus saw the faith in the room, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Not just his, but their faith. This is an aha moment, because healing happened when the community shared his burden by faith. That's the moment healing took place. Look at Galatians 6, verse 2. Put up on the screen. "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." My last story that we're gonna pray. If you ever heard of Clydesdale horses are one of the biggest horses in the world. There's also Belgium draft horses, and they're big and they're strong, and they got the big bushy feet, and they're tough, and they have the power to pull a lot of weight. And one Clydesdale can pull around 7,000 pounds. That's almost 3.5 tons. What's interesting is the more Clydesdales you add, the greater pulling strength they have. And so you take one Clydesdale that can pull 7,000 pounds, and you partner it with another Clydesdale, you would think, well, they're gonna do 14,000 pounds, because 7 plus 7 is 14, but no, they pull up to 22,000 pounds. The math's not mathing. What's even more interesting is when you put a third Clydesdale next to them, you put them next to each other, they go from 7,000 pounds of pulling power to 20-something thousand pounds of pulling power to up to 32,000 pounds of pulling power. And is it because you would think, well, 7 times 3 is 21, so how can they pull all of a sudden 32,000 pounds? Well, one, that they're together. Number two, they're now coordinated and in stride, and now I may have been doing it this way, but now they notice that one's doing it that way. Now they're in sync with each other, and their steps start to match each other. Who am I preaching to? They're in sync with one another, but here's the best part. There's the picture. Here's the best part. When the other horse looks at the other horse, something shifts in their mind and says, I was going to stop pulling, but I guess you're still pulling, so we're still pulling. And I was about to give up on my marriage, but now because you're here and you're still going, I'm going to grab your faith and I'm going to keep believing for breakthrough in my marriage. Yes. Something shifts. I was feeling broken and I was feeling hopeless and in pain, paralyzed in my fear and my shame and my guilt and my fear. But by the grace of God, I found a community of people that I was created for, and there's healing power here. My last verse, James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, because the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. When we come together, healing is available and something powerful takes place. So here's what I want to do. Something maybe is uncomfortable for some, but I believe it'll bless somebody. At all of our campuses, I want to make the big church feel like a small church with a big heart. And I want to challenge everybody in the next minute and a half or so to turn behind you or to the person next to you and pray for each other. And you don't got to confess your sin. You don't got to be doing all that, but you can say, how can I pray for you? And if someone says, I'm good, just speak life over them. Or if you don't feel comfortable praying, then maybe you ask for prayer. But I promise you, there is someone today that will receive healing and breakthrough when God gives you a little piece, a little moment of community that he designed you for. Amen. So over the next minute and a half or so, right now, do it right now. All of our campuses, turn to someone next to you. You can get up. You can just turn your chair. Whatever you want to do. Find someone next to you. Someone you don't know. Introduce yourself. Say hello. Begin to pray for them. Ask them that simple question, how can I pray for you?